And we gave out, I gave out 7 points that I wanted to cover, and once I cover these 7 points, we'll move on to another subject, another lesson or another teaching. Praise God. But we've been dealing with the subject of self-image. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you anoint the ears to hear. Father, you said to the 7 churches, one thing you said to them, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. And so, Father, I pray that as I speak to the church, as the mouthpiece for the kingdom of God and His Word, that your people hear what is being said. And, Father, I know that it will change their life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for our first point, we were bringing out that everything must be governed or understood through the nature of God. Through the nature of God. If you do not understand the person that God is, you'll never be able to interpret the Son, nor will you ever be able to interpret our relationship with each other and our fellowship with each other. That's why 1 John is such a powerful and deep book, because that book cannot be taught to the general masses until the church has come to a place understanding the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement, and I'm not making this statement for all churches, but as a whole, right now the church is into the glory of ministers. And I believe that the church will rise up and get out of the glory of the minister and get back in to the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I got a book up in my office. Someone had given it to me, and I'm not going to give you the title of it. But I thought something was very interesting as I got into the book and began to read it. I began to notice something about the information that was in the book. The information, they were trying to describe the type of fellowship you should have with the Lord apart from understanding the new birth. You know, they come up with some good statements and they have some good thoughts and some good ideas, but until you know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just clarified good information, but it doesn't really give you the impact that you need to understand what it means to be born from above. And so a lot of doctrine that you've seen, they have some good things in it, but much of it is not predicated on the basis of them really knowing the person of God. Now, if you don't understand the person of God through His Son, then you'll never understand God Himself. That's why in 1 John, John the Beloved said that if you do not understand the Son, then you don't even have the Father. See, you don't even have Him in your understanding. Now, the 7 points that we brought out, the first one meaning that everything must be governed or understood through that new nature that you and I had received when we were born again. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I never caught this until the Lord mentioned it to me very clearly. I'm going to tell you how important. Now, we're talking about self-image. And basically what we've been saying is that your personal self-image has to literally die for His image to begin to develop and shine out of you. See? And see, how you escape the corruption that is in this world is not because you're a Christian. It's because you have inherited a divine nature that helps you to escape the corruption that is in the world. See, in the Greek language over there in Peter didn't say, he wasn't saying that we escape this world because we're believers. He was saying, through the divine nature, we escape the corruption of this world. Through wrong desires. See? And so, yet a lot of people don't know the importance of really understanding the God that they're serving and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, why He came. You know, I had some ministers just ask me recently, do you think that Romans chapter 7 is talking about a Christian with a flesh problem? And I said emphatically no. It's talking about a man who's not born again and who is living under the Mosaic law, and he doesn't have the capacity to serve God by law. He can only serve God by the new nature. And see, the nature part you don't understand to get Romans chapter 8. You see, because the Jew was trying to serve God through the flesh. See, and God never intended for the Jew to be able to do anything through the flesh. He only intended the law just to be a schoolmaster to that which is to come. Are you following me? And there's where the church has not done its job, is that it hasn't made a distinction of the reason why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come to do something for us in order for us to follow Him in a completeness or a matured state, or eventually get to the matured state. And the church as a whole is still caught up in their own self-image. You know, I used to wonder why I couldn't do a lot of things, and up until I began to understand what it meant for me to be born from above. I couldn't understand why I couldn't accomplish a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish. But when I got the understanding of the new birth, it did something to me more than any other understanding whatsoever. And not only understanding the new birth, but when 1 John, the enlightenment of that book came alive, now I understood why all those verses were coming from the direction that they were coming from. It's because basically 1 John says, if you want your fellowship to be perfect, then you need to be plugged into fellowship with God and receiving the life and nature of God and the development of that in you so that you can overcome the things that are in this world. But it requires a birthing within us. You know, when we're getting born again, when we get born from above, it's instantaneous. God reaches down and He touches our spirit. And he changes it back into the original formation of what it was meant to be. A spirit that can know God and fellowship with Him. But the problem with many of us is when we get born again, we don't really understand that just because I went forward, I don't know how many years it's been now, but when I went forward, 1971 is when I got saved, wasn't it? Yeah, June 11th, 1971, how many years that is. But when I went forward and I got saved, I didn't have a ghost of an idea what I did. I just knew that it was the right thing to do. You know what I mean? And so then I began to notice that something was at work within me I hadn't noticed before. Because you see, the new birth doesn't have a distinction of the day of Pentecost like the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. See, the new birth is something else. It's like the wind. You can feel it and sense it, whatever it is. But you don't know you're born again until later on you get a revelation out of the Word of God what took place on the inside of you. And that didn't follow for several years until I was in Eugene, Oregon. A friend of mine, I was preaching one day about being born again. And he asked me, point blank in his living room, he says, "What do you mean by being born again?" And I says, my understanding of what it meant to be born from above was that I had a bunch of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin tapes, so therefore I understood exactly what it meant to be born again, because they told me I was born again. And so he somehow was asking me this question. I asked him why, and he says, I got a revelation of what you were preaching. I mean, it hit me. And I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Through your preaching." And I says, "Well, praise God. Thanks for plugging in." He says, "But you know, as I hear you talk more and more, I don't think you got a revelation of what you're preaching." And so he confronted me. He says, "Where were you born again?" And I went, I. "Where was I born again?" I just flat asked him. And he says, "It was your spirit." "Really? Wow." And I had a reaction, and I was walking on a cloud. And I read one of Kenneth Hagin's books, and he says that after his healing, He'd go to his people and the ones that he used to fellowship with, and they asked him to go do the same things they used to do. And he says, "No, I'm no longer that same person. I'm a new person." They looked at him, "What do you mean you're a new person? You haven't died." He said, "No, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." Well, they didn't understand. They didn't have an idea why. They were looking at his flesh and not seeing that he was referring to his spiritual being. See? Now, we're talking about self-image, and we've got to get rid of it. Well, one thing that you will discover about the type of image you're walking in, and there's only one way you'll know it, it is by the fruit that you bear. I hate to tell you that. But you know people by their fruit. Guess what? You know you by your own fruit. And I didn't like the fruit I'm bearing. And I said, "God, how could that be?" He says, "Because the fruit you're bearing is more out of your soul than out of your spirit." And see, this new birth, understanding of the new birth, made things come so alive to me that whenever I step outside of my spirit and I begin to walk out of my soul, I have problems with my flesh. I have problems with people. I have problems with forgiveness. I have problems with putting law on people. Are you following what I'm saying? And when you step outside of the nature of God that's on the inside of you, then what you're doing is you're walking in a realm that is not developed into His nature, in His life. He had to give you His nature. Why? Because it's by that nature that you govern and discern all things that are in the Word of God and that are in the person of Jesus and the person of the Father. Until you get that revelation of the divine nature that you've inherited, then you'll never really be changed into His image. You've got to be able to govern everything through the person that God is. You've got to. It's almost emphatic. They were saying, they were making statements in this book, and I could tell right away, they don't know the divine nature of God, but yet they have an idea of what the divine nature should be, and they don't even realize it. See. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I know we're going to go there. You've heard it dozens of times again. But I'm going to provoke your thinking here just a minute. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we Him no more." Now, we've been talking about righteousness on Wednesday night for those of you that have been here. And I've showed you in Scripture why the Jew and why the unregenerate man could not understand why Jesus thought, why Jesus talked, why Jesus walked the way that He did. It was contrary to the understanding, because the righteousness of God that is in you is the nature of God that is manifested out of you. And if you look at a believer and you see that that nature is not present, then you know automatically that that person has to be restrained by some kind of law. Whether it's the law to serve in a church, or whether it's law to serve in society, or whether it's law to serve in the military, I got news for you. The unregenerate person who is living out of his natural mind rather than his spirit has to be governed by some form of law. But God's Word says that if you're governed by the law of the nature of the new birth, you don't need a law. You don't need law. Why? Because God writes the tablets of the law on your own conscience to discern what's right or wrong. And you've got to do what you know is right. Now, I'm going to share something with you. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. God asked me about His divine attributes. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing. And I mentioned all these issues. I had them all written out. And God said, "You know what they're governed by?" And I said, well, that's you. He says, "Do you know what all knowing means?" "It means I know everything." I said, "Yeah." He says, "What does it mean, but I'm all powerful?" You know how people talk about the sovereignty of God? You know what makes God sovereign? You know what makes God all-knowing? You know what makes God all-powerful? I'll tell you what it is. It is His nature that qualifies Him for His sovereignty. Now, you and I are not deified in the sense that we're all-knowing and omniscient. You follow me? Keep God where God belongs. He is the all-knowing one. He is absoluteness. Are you following me? Now, we're born of Him. Are you following me? But we don't inherit the all-powerfulness, but we have the authority to use some of it. But you see, everything God told me, He says, the reason I am that I am is because my nature qualifies for me to be what I am. I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, we've been talking about someone sparked something in me, and they're coming from this viewpoint, it was a believer, and they're coming from this viewpoint that God is just going to correct their life. And I said, God is not in the business of correcting your life. That's your job. God is in the business of revealing what you have become, but it's you to choose to live that. Are you following me? You know, people say, well, the reason he's going to hell is because he's in sin. No, God did something about the sin problem. He gave you something to overcome sin with. And you know what it's called? His life and nature that has been injected into your spirit to know good and evil. And this brother says, well, I fought this thing and I fought that. I said, listen, the thing that you fight the most is where you violate your conscience the most. I quit fighting something when I allowed my conscience to work on me. You know what he said to me? Well, that's an interesting thought. You see, now I'm clearly being able to define whether people are being changed into the life and nature that's in them. See, they're without an excuse. And when they stand before God and they've chosen to move out of God, then God is going to tell them, well, you had the life and nature to move into me, not out of me. You see. Now I want you to notice something here. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You know what word he used for the word know here? You know what word he used? Look at that word know. Know. And what is he saying that we're to know? No man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Are you ready? Know we no man, literally is the Greek word oida. Now this is where the Greek language complements the revelation of God. The word know is the word oida. And it means to literally know something after something in its completed form. It's talking about not being ignorant of any insight. The insight has been fully disclosed and you know it. Oida is a word for knowledge that is complete. Where the other word for knowledge is gnosko, which literally means a knowledge that is acquired through fellowship, koinonia. It means the more you fellowship with somebody, you get to know them a little more. Or reject them a little more. Positive or negative. That's why some marriages, once they're consummated, they really get to know each other. But it's not according to a complete knowledge. It's according to experiential knowledge that you are either going to accept or reject. Are you following me here? So, God is because God is life. And God is not temporal life. God is eternal life. He has never had a beginning and He will never have an end. So God stepped down in the form of flesh, became manifested to unravel the works of the devil, not Him attacking us, but Him being able to use me. None of us have an advantage over another one to proceed with complete success in Jesus. It's just according to what part of us are we choosing to live in. James wasn't painting a picture of somebody needing to humble themselves before the Word of God to change his life. He was saying, literally, you need to humble yourself and surrender your soul, your natural life that had been programmed long before you even gave your heart to Jesus. You got to learn how to surrender that guy and let him begin to die as you begin to be reconstructed in your understanding of God spiritually. Now, notice what he says here. Know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth, or now henceforth, know we him no more. This is a very interesting statement. Because the first word for know here means, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You know what that means? It means that when I got born again, I had a complete understanding of me according to the flesh. This verse is literally saying your self-image has got to cease once you get born again. It's got to come to an end. Notice he says here, he says the knowledge that we know after our natural man is complete knowledge. Now notice this. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. This is where I get confused. You know what word for know is there? Wait a minute. Even though we have known Christ in our knowledge after the flesh of Him, which is complete. Are you guys following me? It's, in other words, before I got born again, you know what my knowledge was? The completeness of my knowledge was this. Why? What is Christianity? What do I need to get saved from? Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know. I know if you believe on Him, you get saved. You see, you have a complete understanding after the flesh of Christ. But when you get born again, guess what you have to do with that understanding of Jesus? You have to get rid of it. You can no longer know Him after the flesh. You have to know Him totally different. You know, I knew Christ after the flesh. Another knowing Christ after the flesh is I saw Him get on the cross, paid for my sins, and died for me. And that was the limit of what I knew about Him. And I knew that if I got saved by Him getting on the cross, then I was complete in that understanding. That's why I gave my life to Jesus, because I know that if I didn't give my life to Jesus, I could be damned. My concept of where I'm at is complete after the flesh or after the man. But this, the reason the word for oide is used there is a completeness of what you understand, where you've matured from, that's got to go. Now, notice this. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, gnosko. No, oida. Now look at this. Yet now henceforth know we Him no more. That is the word gnosko. If you've obtained to an understanding, a complete understanding, you've been fully matured in a Christ that you know according to your flesh, that's got to stop. If before you got born again, once you got born again, you've got to know now, you've got to know this, your life has got to come to a stop. The life I'm talking about is the life of the man, the flesh of the man. Are you following me? Now, how do we conceive that? It's very simple how we conceive that, Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, what does he say there? Let's go there. Matthew 18. And let's just capitalize on that for a minute. Man, I tell you what, I feel the anointing of God all over me. But I want to make sure that you guys understand what I'm trying to say. In Matthew chapter 18, powerful verse. At the same time the disciples came, the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" In other words, who is the one who heaven respects the most? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and sat him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of the heaven," or kingdom of the heaven. Now notice what he said here, "except you be converted." Actually, that is a wrong term. He says, "except you turn." You turn. He wasn't using a term they couldn't understand. He used a term they could understand, and that was to turn. You see, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, to turn in the right direction. But even though they made a vow to turn in the right direction, they couldn't follow it through because they didn't have the life and nature to do it. Are you following me? But the minute they made the water baptism of repentance to turn, God accounted that to them for righteousness' sake. That's why he asked the Jews one time, whom does John's baptism, who is it? Is it of God or is it of men? Well, it's a decision that man makes, but its symbolism is God initiated. Are you following me? Now notice this. He says here, "Except you turn and become as little children. And this is a word, paideia, and it literally means one who is a child that's willing to receive instruction from the parents. Now, you know what he's saying there? He's given an example of what he's saying, what Paul's saying over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." It literally means that there has to be a time, a pinpoint time in your life, you have to literally see yourself die to the old person that you are, so you can become the new person that he has made you. That's what he's saying here. When I got born again and went down that aisle to a Baptist church, of course, it's a Baptist church, I got saved. But when I wanted to know about spirituality, I went down the street to the Assemblies of God. Now, listen to me carefully. When I gave my life to God, I had no idea it was predicated on the fact that my natural life is dead. Why? I still lived out of it. But as time progressed, my soul started getting saved daily. Are you following me? Through a process of time. When I sought God and I said, "God, why don't I have a desire for you anymore like I used to?" He says, "Because you quit searching, quit seeking. You lost your hunger, you lost your thirst." The minute a believer does that, he stepped outside of the divine nature that he has interpressed. He has inherited. Now you're walking out of your old man. Now follow me. He said, "You must become as a little child." He used the word paideia, meaning one who's willing to start life all over again, afresh. How many of you follow what I'm saying? You know how much I thought of that when I got saved. I didn't get up. Give me milk. No, that was when I did the sneak stuff on Sue on the booze. Because I didn't know I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. I didn't know old things passed away. Behold, all things become. Why? Because when I got up from the commitment of giving my life to Jesus, I never knew that my inward person had become brand new in Christ. I didn't know that. But I'll tell you what I did know. I still had a fellowship with my outer man that was fully developed by this world and even a prince of the power of the air of this world. He fully clothed me and I was fully matured in sin. Now this is what makes it so confusing for the church. When they get up off their knees, having just got born again, they're walking around with this outer man that is fully developed by this world. And somehow we have to get back into Scripture and learn how to kill his activities. And guess what? God didn't leave you to kill the activities of your outer man by a person that is not developed inwardly to accomplish that. So God knew that when I got born again, He knew my outer man was still in control. He knew that He had to develop my inner man to rise up and take dominion over my outer man. And guess what? It doesn't come without making mistakes. Now listen, the thing that God has to do is take you to a place to put off the outer man by the inner man, and guess what? It can't be by law. It has to be by His nature. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, she made the statement, fear God, escape hell. Well, you can take that two ways. The Bible does say to fear God is the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom, but that kind of fear is the right kind of fear. But there's another kind of fear that's negative. It's the kind of fear that doesn't trust God. Are you guys plugged into what I'm saying? And so, you see, that's why God had to resurrect you in your spirit so that He now has something to work with that He never had to work with, according to the guy in Romans chapter 7. Because he had a desire to serve God, but he said the very thing that I desire to do, I find that I'm not doing that. I'm practicing sin. Why? He didn't have the nature activated within him to take dominion over it. When I pointed all those ministers in that car and I turned to them and I said, not one of you know what it means to be born again. They looked at me like they were stunned. I said, because there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'm not going to live by law out of my life out of law through the natural man. I got to live it out of the law of God working in my inward being, in my conscience. This book was saying that just having fellowship with God is not the answer to overcome the dictates of the flesh. You know what fellowshipping with God does, people? He takes out your old stony heart. And He puts a heart of flesh in you. He gives you compassion. He gives you a love. He gives you an understanding that's beyond the natural realm. Why? The righteousness of God cannot be comprehended by the natural mind. Because the natural mind says, you've got to administer law. And the righteousness of God says, I will administer my law in your heart. It isn't a matter of me wanting to overcome cigarettes. It's a matter I got to a place that I get to. Somebody said, did you ever overcome sin by law? No, I can't overcome sin by law. Why? I'll repeat it. I have to overcome sin by God taking me to a place where I hate it. You say, you're not changed because you're to fear God with the wrong fear. You're to change because you fear God with the right fear. If we think we have a choice, we don't. We have to realize that everything has to be governed through that nature. And if you don't know God's nature, how are you going to govern anything in your life? If you're after the glory of men, that's what Paul was saying. You're after the glory of men. No flesh should be exalted in this life. What he was talking about is if they're ministering a certain way, then it's not the anointing that's at work. It's preference of people. Somebody said, well, you got an anointing problem. I says, I do not. You have a personality problem. Because if you heard what I'm telling you, you wouldn't be where you're at. Something switched in me, people. This last 6 years, something switched in me. I try to share it with everybody, but you can't grasp it with your soul, because your soul is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. It has to be purged by revelation. And man, turn over to 2 Corinthians. Or 1 Corinthians, not 2nd. 1 Corinthians. I keep going back here because this is how I got the revelation. The distinction between the Holy Spirit at work within me and the nature of God working within me. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you there? Okay. Verse 10. Well, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we've been told this is talking about the Holy Ghost. And you cannot prove that to me by Scripture. But listen, if God doesn't have a nature and a life in you for the Holy Spirit to work with, it's irrelevant what the Holy Ghost knows. Because if it was up to the Holy Ghost to search out all the deep things of God, then you and I, we don't have to even be involved in the process. We can stand outside of it, and the Holy Ghost will just do His work, and we wouldn't be where we're at. We would be a cleaned up, disciplined church if it was up to the Holy Ghost to do its work in us. The Holy Ghost's job is to be the anointing to comprehend God with. But God had to do something with your spirit so you would comprehend what the Holy Ghost is saying. Or otherwise the Holy Ghost could talk all day long, and if you don't have the life and nature of God in you to assimilate or discern it, you might as well go and say, duh. Yeah, see, the Holy Ghost is the only one that can make that life and nature of God come alive in me to understand what God's trying to say to me. Amen. And you have to understand it by a nature. Yeah, I'll tell you, the most difficult thing to do is deal with a Christian who's living outside of the nature of God. Because no matter what you say to them, they can't grasp it. If you put it on a pedestal, carved it out of stone, and put it there, they'd still go, I don't understand. You want to know why? Because they got to let their understanding die and let His revelation come forward through the inner man, the nature of God. Now look at this. But God, for God, revealed to us through the Spirit. And guess what? It has the article, which means it's given definition to the noun. And the noun here can't be the Holy Ghost. Follow me. By the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, let me ask you something. Are you bold enough to say that, first of all, Paul is giving us some insight as the Holy Ghost coming from God? You mean no man ever knew that? You mean the disciples in the Gospel of John? They didn't know the Holy Ghost came from God? Wow, I didn't know that. Did you know the Holy Ghost operated in the Old Testament? Did you know that the Old Testament believers believed in the Holy Ghost? Did you know everything, Old Testament, New Testament, when the Holy Ghost is mentioned, there's association to the Holy Ghost as coming from God? Not one time does it ever disassociate its association with God. So Paul then comes and gives us scriptures, and the translators brought a confusion to us by putting a big S on there and not realizing that he's talking about the little s. The reason you had to get born again is that's the only way you're going to know God, is through the nature of the new birth that you have. And when you judge everything through the new birth, that gives you a real understanding. Is this what Jesus would do and judge? Our children wear it on a little wristband. Would Jesus do that? Well, if you understand his life and nature, no, he would not, or yes, he would. God didn't leave us in the same state that he left the Old Testament believer. Why? There was a veil over their heart, and they couldn't look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the face that you look into, the spirit of the law of liberty in Christ Jesus has made me free. Why? It's because I look within the recesses of my own heart. I see the spirit of Christ in me, and that's how I'm changed into his image. Not because the Holy Ghost is there. Because I got the Spirit of God in me. And the Holy Ghost, whoo, he magnifies that puppy. His job gets real good when you start seeing it. I got news for you. The Holy Ghost is the mind of God. The Holy Ghost is the deep things of God. He doesn't lack anything, or God would lack something. You have to believe that. I'm sorry. If you think the Holy Ghost lacks the deep things of God over your life, que sera, sera, you'll never get the revelation. No, it's my human spirit that searches for the deep things of God. Why? Why? Because it's by that nature that I come to know all things about Him. You see, this head job that we all got a head job. It's called soul. Suke. And that thing has been programmed by this world, and if you don't take it, it didn't take root in your soul. I got news for you. It did. And that's why Paul says, our warfare is not according to flesh and blood, but our warfare, our strategy is zeroed in on the mindset that is within us, that has to be eradicated or removed from us through obedience to the Word of God. And he tells us these imaginations even speak against the knowledge of God. That's why you've got some Christians believing in healing and others not believing in healing. Why? Because they can't discern it through their spirit. You know what the Lord told me? He said if he didn't get us born again, number one, the Holy Spirit couldn't be in us. Yeah, but I got scriptures that says he was in them in the Old Testament. I said, where at? And he took me over to Peter. It says the Spirit that was in them. He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost in their inner being. He was talking about the Holy Ghost being in their understanding. That the Spirit of Christ that was to come. We haven't really seen the fullness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts because we've been churched. We've been religified. We haven't been dedicated. We haven't putting him as a preeminence in our life. First place. And did you know your first love is what I term the beginning of the nature of God at work in your heart. That's why when you grow cold about the things of God, you grow cold about hearing Him, it's because you've transitioned from your spirit to your head. And your head dies, your spirit creates life all the time. Now notice this. I got to finish this. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Notice it's a small s, which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Notice it's a big S. Are they confused? Because he's saying, now we have received not the spirit of this world, a little s, but the spirit, a little s, which is of God, that we might know the things of... There he's just flagrantly telling us. The only way you know God is for God to work through the life and nature He's put in your heart. You know, the scary thing about this is When you start seeing this as it really is, you have a discernment that starts working in your heart so great that you don't know how to handle some people. Because you can't sit there and tell them, you guys don't know God yet. Well, what if they've been in church for 50 years? They don't know God. Why? Well, Paul said in Hebrews 5, he says, when you ought to be a teacher, you need one to teach you again the first principles of God. Why? Because you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. He said righteousness. Righteousness meaning you're unskilled in the life and nature of God that's in you. And I can sit and listen to a brother or a sister. They can rant on. And I sit there and I can tell what part of them they're walking in. I can tell they're walking out of a part of their soul or out of their spirit. I don't say nothing to them because I'm doing the same thing. Now if they ask me, I can be very bold. But it's if they ask me. The first sign that God isn't working out through your nature is when you get cold in God. When you lose the desire to hear the Word of God. I got there. 12 years ago, I got there. So, what does he mean, henceforth, know we no man after that? Well, is that talking about your flesh? You know him completely. What's he talking about there? He's talking about you have a new life now on the inside of you. The word new creature there is actually in the Greek is new creation. You're a brand new species of being that never before existed. And now when God deals with your life through the Holy Spirit, He's going to deal directly through that new nature, your spirit, your inward man. Are you following me? And if you cannot interpret Him through that nature, then you'll interpret God any way you want to. His nature in you governs what you hear and what you see and what you know. Amen, Andrew? He looked at me like, what'd I do? I'll tell you what you did. You have a hunger for God. You love the Lord. Right now, you've got Him kind of romanced in with little Lindsay here. But I got news for you. You have a call on your life. You're going to raise up one day. You're going to start seeing things as they really are. And a fire is going to get on the inside of you. And that fire is going to promote you into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why I quit worrying about my call. I got off that kick. I just wanted to get into Jesus and there my fire is. Ministry can't make you on fire. Misery will make you a nut. You get on fire and ministry will follow you. Everybody's looking for their ministry. Where's my ministry? Where's my ministry? And what they need to do is get into God. And then they go and do. I'm going to go and do. And ministry is behind you. I'm catching up. When people are seeking after ministry, they are dish brains until they get out of that. Amen. And get into Jesus. And then I got news for you. Ministry will follow you. Right. Did you guys get something here today? Did you get all you wanted to hear? You know, all the attributes of God. All the attributes of God the Father. And His Son ain't going to help you unless you give yourself to God and His attributes. Hallelujah. 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 Some people are seeking ministry. I hope they never catch it. Why? Because they no more have an idea what God's about than the man in the moon. Did you guys get something here? Maybe that's why I don't look at myself on TV. Mike Butler, my brother, he called me from the Diamond Fields up there. And he's going to come down and visit our church. He's my brother from my dad's different wife than my mother. What would you call him? Half brother. He's half of me. He's half the man. No, I didn't mean that. Don't you say nothing. But he read this. They have almost all the workers, even unsaved people, watching our program on Sunday. They can't hardly wait for it. And Mike was talking with this one guy, hard nose, hard, didn't want nothing to do with church. And so Mikey's running around bragging on me being a big movie star and all that. He doesn't know where I'm at. And so he's promoting everybody to watch my program. So they're all sitting there and watching my program when it comes on. Everything stops. They watch the program, go back to work. And this one hard guy Mikey's been trying to talk to was turned off because he was raised in church his whole life and told what to do and what not to do. And he looked at Christianity as just a bunch of junk. But Mike, I don't know what program was on. He was watching it. And Mike looked over and he didn't have a hardness about him. He has bent over and he was listening. And Mike went up to him and says, "Well, what do you think?" And he goes, "I trust what he says." And Mike says, "Oh, we're getting a little soft." And he says, "No, I just trust what he says." And he walked off. Many of them men are now taking a whole new different look. And you know what he did? He ended up gathering all their questions. They have a ton of questions and he's writing them down and they want them all answered because that's not what they were taught in church.
Amen.
We're going to go back. He's going to go back with all them questions answered. I believe God will give. I didn't even appreciate what I was bringing out until you start seeing the response of it, people. I'll tell you, television is really a good media to evangelize with. To do missionary work with. We have let our vision drop because we don't see the reaction of people's heart when they do see the television and they do see what's taking place. Now I know that has a negative effect as well because we got negative ministers on there. But I'll tell you what, truth will make a way where there is no way in the heart of people. Even if they hear bad programming, truth will transcend it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can't wait for Mikey to come. Be with us middle of November. Then he's going to take me up and let me see my stepmom, Mary Ann. He said, "She's born again." I said, "Well, great, Mike. What church does he go to?" Oh, she's Catholic. "Are you sure she's born again?" He said, "Oh, she's born again. She even says, 'I'm born again.'" But she goes to a Catholic church. Yes, there is Spirit-filled Catholics. And well, matter of fact, I asked him, I said, "Well, some Catholics are Spirit-filled." And he says, "Oh, I don't know about this church." It was the church she's attending. He says, "But she loves God. Every time I talk to her, she's talking about God. The Lord." So something's in her heart, amen? So I'm going to go up to Rosalind and visit with her. "Hi, Mary Ann. Are you born again?" She says, "Oh, yes." "Are you spirit filled?" Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. I hope this is getting to you. I hope this is getting across to you. Amen. Amen. Hal, do you really know what it means to be born from above? I thought so. John Calwell, I'd deal with him. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, I thank you so much for really knowing you in my heart. Father, I thank you so much for the fire. The closer I get with you, the more fire consumes me. And so, Father, today I pray. I pray more than anything else, Father, that there be somebody here that has never been born from above, never had the opportunity to put down their old man and put on the new, then Father, today I implore them to come forward when we release so we can pray for them and lead them into the kingdom. Father, I pray if there's any believers here that are having a difficult time in their walk with the Lord and their flesh, I pray, Father, that they move back into a closer fellowship with you. And Father, I pray they just come as they are, apart from legalism, and just enter into your presence in a freedom they've never known before. And Father, yes, Lord. Yes. I will, Lord. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we would love to lay hands on you and want you to be filled with the completeness of the Holy Spirit. And if you need healing, we want you to come forward. We want to lay hands on you and watch you recover. And with that, you're dismissed. Those of you that I've requested to come up, please come up. Don't hesitate. Won't do anything to embarrass you. The rest of you, you're dismissed.